Well, good morning, everyone. Now, I'll be the first to say I know you're disappointed because you thought Pastor Ricky was preaching this morning. But it's okay. It's okay. What he was going to do, he was going to preach Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, and he was going to preach about the encounter that I had with Jesus. Now he, you know, in his normal fashion, he would have read those first 10 verses. And so I encourage you, when you go home today, read Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. But it's my privilege to be with you all this morning. And, well, sorry, I forgot, I didn't give you my name. My name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, yes, yes. And I know some of you are laughing because you see how short I am, but it's okay. I've learned to grow with it. But I wanted to talk with you all this morning about the encounter that changed my life, the encounter that changed generations after me, my encounter with Jesus. Now, for most of my life, I was the man that people avoided, the man they whispered about, the man they hated. You heard me. It's still hard for me to say what I did. I was the chief tax collector. I'll explain a little bit later on what that is, but I was looked at as the traitor, the sinner. But do you know how I got here? Do you know what it's like to grow up in a world where you're looked at as not enough? I was born in this town called Jericho. It was an amazing town. It was a town full of wealth, trade. It was a town where maybe you know it. Yeah, he might know. Maybe you know it. It was like growing up in New York City, in the financial district of New York City. This is what Jericho was like. And merchants passed through our towns, and I would watch the transfer of money, and I would watch them sell their goods. I watched how people built their wealth. I can still see now. I can see the soldiers walking up, those Roman soldiers walking up and down our streets, policing us and making sure that we stayed in line. They were watching. They were always watching. Now my parents, they were good Jews. They feared the Lord. They respected the Lord, and they raised me to know the Torah. Oh yes, I can Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. I can quote whole passages of Scripture. That's what my parents wanted. You know, my name Zakai means pure. My mother said she gave me this name because she believed I would grow up to be a righteous man. But you know, I was never the strong one. I was never first picked when the boys would play out in the streets. I was always vertically challenged. Maybe I could say it that way. I don't like the word short or small. I was always picked on. And I would always hear the jokes, those corny jokes they would say at me. They would look at me and say, "Hey, Zacchae, why are you down there? Can you dust off my sandal?" Or stuff like, "How's the air down there?" They thought it was funny. I hated it. You know, people laughed at me and they would pat me on the head as if I was a child long after I needed that type of affection. But it was early on that I realized that if I wanted to be respected, I would have to find another way to get it. I watched the way the money moved throughout my city, and I saw how the Roman officials were treated. They were wealthy. They were powerful. They were untouchable. And then the tax collectors, they were feared by my people. And I made a decision. If I couldn't be tall, if I couldn't be strong, I would be rich. So I turned my It still hurts me to say this, but I turned my back on my people. in my upbringing, and I bought my way into the Roman system. You know, it started off small. I would collect fines and enforce fees, but then I rose up. Then I realized that money always flows toward the ones who know how to take it. Eventually, I became chief tax collector. Y'all don't understand. This little old boy from the north side of Jericho that will watch money and will watch how things will work, but never thought that I would be in this position to influence this. I was now the chief tax collector. I managed all the money in Jericho. I said who came in and who went out. I processed all the financial statements. It was me who controlled it all. I controlled Jericho as well. And the more I took, the richer I became. I told myself it didn't matter what they thought of me. I had the power now. I had the juice. Maybe y'all may not know that. I was doing some research on the 90s. That's a movie called Juice. I had the juice now. I had the wealth. But it was in those quiet moments. Those moments when I would sit by myself, those still, quiet moments when I realized that there was more to life, that I felt this level of emptiness. You see, money can fill your hands, but that's it. Money can spend, you can use money to pay for an extravagant wedding, but it can't sustain a strong marriage. Money can buy you that big house and all the furniture and the TV, everything inside of it, but it can't make a home. Money can be used to send your kids to the best schools and send them, put them in the right programs, but it can't nourish your relationship as a parent. Money can fill your hands, but it can't fill your heart. And then one day, I heard his name. They kept talking about him. I needed to see who this man was. I kept hearing this name, Jesus. I heard them talk about this healer, this prophet, a man who welcomes sinners. And then the unbelievable happened. He was coming to Jericho. Something inside of me needed to see him. I can't explain what it was. All I knew was I had to be there. And so when he came, I rushed to the town square where he was going to be teaching. But once I got there, it was already a big crowd around him, and obviously I couldn't look over the crowd, and I couldn't force my way through the crowd. And once again, I was here, left out, overlooked, forgotten. But I had been here before, and I mastered this. I knew how to push through obstacles. And so I thought, Zacchaeus, you're smart, you're intelligent, you figure out a way to see him. And I looked over, there was this tree. It was a sycamore tree. Now, a man of my stature, me, of the affluence that I have, the money that I have, the power that I yield, I don't deal with sycamore trees. I'm more of a fig tree guy, you know? They produce good fruit. Sycamore trees was more for the poor, those who didn't have much. But I had to put my pride aside because I thought if I were to get to Jesus, I had to do something that would make me uncomfortable. So I climbed the tree. And another good thing about the sycamore tree, they have branches all over it. It's low branches, so, you know, it was easy for me to climb it. I climbed up the tree. I saw him teaching. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't there anymore. And then I heard my name. I heard someone say Zacchaeus. But it was different, you know? I've heard somebody say Zacchaeus before. I heard somebody walk up to me and say, hey, Zacchaeus, and start talking. But this time, it was different. The person who said my name knew me. Like, knew me. Like they knew me before my mother knew me. The person who called my name, it was like they knew the Zacchaeus that I had hidden inside. He knew that 12-year-old me who decided that being good wasn't enough, that being small meant being overlooked, that if I couldn't be loved, I would be feared. He knew that 15-year-old me who watched the tax collectors and thought power is better than approval. He knew that 18-year-old me who made his first dishonest deal and told myself it didn't matter. As long as I had wealth, I would be secure. He knew the me that had spent years pretending I didn't care, the me who had built walls of gold around my heart, thinking that they would protect me. But when he called my name, when I heard him say Zacchaeus, those walls cracked. Those walls were dismantled. The me who had built walls of gold around my heart, the me who built my life on this lie, it was like it was revealed. Because this wasn't the call of a man who despised me. This wasn't the call of a man who hated me. This wasn't the call of a man who judged me. This was the call of a man who saw me, the real me, the me I had buried under years of greed and guilt. And if I'm honest with you all, it was the first time in a very, very long time that I actually wanted to be seen. So he calls me. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house. My house? I said, you sure you want to stay at my house? Rabbi, no holy man has ever wanted to stay at my house. The sinner, the man who took from his own people, and yet here he was, not avoiding me, but calling me by name and coming to me. It was in that moment that I felt everything I had chased, all the wealth, all the power, it meant nothing compared to the way he looked at me. By the time he stepped into my home, my heart, I felt it inside me. My heart started to change. And I said in front of everybody, I said, Lord, today half of my wealth I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I promise to repay them four times as much as what I took from them. And Jesus, with that same kindness in his eyes, he said this. I can't forget it. He said it. He said, today salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I was lost, but he found me. And that day, for the first time in my life, I knew I was enough. Not because of the size of my house, not because of all the money and wealth I had built, not because of the way people feared me. I knew because he saw me, he called me, and he saved me. You see, my story isn't just my own. Maybe you've never been a tax collector. Maybe you've never robbed your own people, but I wonder how many of you tried to fill that emptiness inside of you with things that don't satisfy? How many of you have felt like you have to prove yourself, to fight to be seen, to choose success so that no one could ever overlook you again? And my final moments that I have with you today, I want to share four insights from my encounter with Jesus. I want to share some things. If I had known this before, I probably wouldn't have gone down the road that I went down. Four things I think that could benefit you. First, things won't make you happy. I know some of you are sitting here today said, well, let me get a few things and then I'll make the decision myself. But take it from me. I thought that they would. I thought that if I could just make enough, if I could own enough, if I can control enough, then I would finally be at peace. But do you know what happens when you reach the top of a ladder just to realize that it was leaning against the wrong wall? You see, you feel more lost than when you started. I had power, but I didn't have friends. I had money, but I didn't have joy. I had influence, but no peace. Some of you are here chasing things right now, believing that the next promotion, the next relationship, the bigger house, the faster car, the next achievement will satisfy you. Let me save you the trouble. It won't. Because your soul wasn't designed to be filled with things. It was designed to be filled with Jesus. So notice that things won't make you happy. And secondly, I want you to know that you should be aggressive and intentional about your walk with Jesus. When I heard that Jesus was coming to town, I had to swallow my pride. I had to release some of the things that I had in my mind. And I didn't hesitate. I didn't sit back and hope that I get a glimpse of him. I ran ahead, climbed up that tree, and put myself in a position to see him. I think some of you are waiting for Jesus just to show up in your life while you sit still. But what if I told you that experiencing him requires pursuit? Think about it. The woman with the issue of blood pushed through the crowd to touch him. Blind Bartimaeus shouted louder when people told him to be quiet. The men who carried their paralyzed friend tore a hole in the roof just to get him to Jesus. Now, what are you willing to do to get to him? Will you wake up earlier to pray? Will you read your Bible even when you don't feel like it? Will you move things out of your life that are blocking your view of him? Jesus says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. The question is, are you seeking him and are you knocking? So things won't make you happy. You need to be aggressive in your pursuit of him. But also know this, I think this is a struggle for many of us. Know this, repentance is not just words, it's action. When Jesus stepped into my house, I knew I couldn't keep living the way that I had been living. I didn't just feel bad about my sin. I did something about it. I gave away half of everything I owned, and then I paid back four times as much as what I stole from people. Too many of you think repentance is just saying, I'm sorry. No, real repentance changes your life. If you're hurt, if you've hurt somebody, go make it right. If you've been dishonest, start living with integrity. If sin has been controlling you, turn away from it and start living for Jesus. You see, grace is free, but repentance is costly. It'll cost you your pride.
It will cost you your comfort. It will cost you your old way of living. But let me tell you that it is worth it. So things won't make you happy. Pursue Jesus like your life depends on it. Repentance is just not words, it's actions. But lastly, I want to leave you with this. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I was lost, but I wasn't the only one lost. Before you gave your life to Christ, you were lost. When I was lost, everybody knew it. But Jesus came looking for me anyway. That means if you feel unworthy today, if you feel too broken, if you think your past is too messy, you are exactly the kind of person Jesus is looking for. Jesus didn't wait for me to get my life together before he called me. He called me as I was, and that same voice that called my name in that tree is calling your name right now. Jesus is calling you. Maybe today you're here in the crowd or you're just watching, curious but unsure. Maybe you feel like you've gone too far, like you're not the kind of person Jesus will stop for, but I'm telling you, no, he will stop for you. He loves you. Some of you need to stop chasing the things that will never satisfy. Some of you need to start climbing your own tree, doing whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Some of you need to repent, not just with your words, but with your actions. And some of you need to let Jesus into your house, into your life, into your heart, for real this time. Now, as I close, I'm reminded of a story. There was this young boy who saw this shiny object in a vase. And so he stuck his hand in to grab it. And as he went to grab, he held in his hand and tried to pull his hand back out. But he noticed that now his fist was too wide and couldn't pull it out. And so his dad was helping him. He said, "Release your hand. Just release whatever's in your hand and you'll be able to be free." And the boy shook his head. He said, "Daddy, I can't." So the father broke open the vase and it shattered, and he opened the boy's hands and it was a mere penny sitting in the palm of his hands. I think some of us today are holding on to things that we think we can't live without. Money, status, sin, comfort, and Jesus is saying, let go. Jesus is saying, free your hand. But like that little boy, we don't realize that if we just release what's in our hands, we'll be free. I want to ask you a question. What are you holding on to today? What are you functionally keeping that's more important than Jesus? I want to encourage you today that whatever it is, it's not worth it. I want to remind you that things are not better than Jesus. That Jesus is worth pursuing. That he gives us the grace to truly turn and repent. And that he came to seek after us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you today. We praise you. We worship you. I ask, Lord, that you would be with your people, that you would comfort them, that you would guide their hearts. I believe many people in here today, something came to their mind that they're holding on to, something that they're chasing that's actually fleeting. I pray, God, that they put all that energy in chasing you. I pray, God, that they will believe Matthew 5 when you said, "But seek ye first your kingdom and your righteousness, and then all things will be added unto you." Father, Be with your people. Guide them. Transform their hearts, whether they know you or whether they don't know you. I pray, God, that we would all walk with you today. It's in the perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.